to our hearts. We open our hearts and minds to receive from you tonight, to get strength, to strength for endurance, Lord, to continue on to share the good news of the gospel with anyone we have the opportunity to share with, Lord. Bless your people to hear. Holy Spirit, lead and guide us tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so am I with the right group? Tonight we are in 2 Samuel chapter 10.
Yes.
Okay. I just want to go over just maybe one scripture in chapter 9. And before we jump into 10 and 9 and 3, and the king said, "Is there not yet any other house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, to the king, "Jonathan has a son, which is lame on his feet." So just want to have us not forget to find someone in your house, make that call, to show the kindness of God. Show the kindness of God to somebody, not your kindness, because the kindness of God, not your kindness. I mean, it's good. Our kindness is good, but the kindness of God goes a lot deeper, because sometimes our kindness is conditional.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it goes a lot deeper, and ours can be conditional. Maybe somebody said something that offended us, or you know, I just don't really like them that much, but the kindness of God goes way beyond that. And it's not based on us, it's based on God. So I thought that was beautiful. But then, and look how we jump into chapter 10. I'll read the first 5 verses, then we can have a discussion, and then we'll keep going. So David shows the kindness. Chapter 9 finishes with Mephibosheth. He's in Jerusalem, and he ate daily at the king's table. And remember, he was still lame on his feet, so he was still crippled. His condition didn't change, but his position did. And so we made a note of that last week, that sometimes your condition doesn't get better, but your position with God is on a whole nother level, which is a beautiful thing. So, and God doesn't discriminate based upon our condition, our sin condition. He still died for us while we were yet sinners. And that's a beautiful thing to know. So we pick it up in chapter 10, verse 1. "And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then David said, 'I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me.' David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father, and David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, 'Do you think that David is going to honor your father, that he sent comforters unto you? Hasn't David rather sent his servants to you to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it?' Mm-hmm. Wherefore Hanun took David's servants, shaved off the one half of their beards, cut off their garments in the middle, even to their backsides, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because they were men greatly humiliated. And the king said, 'Wait here.' King David said, 'Wait here at Jericho until your beards grow back, and then you can return.'" All right, so let's pause right there. Got a lot going on in those first 5 chapters. And just some thoughts. I want to hear from you all before I give you my 2 cents.
Pastor, this is Joanne from Atlanta.
Yes, Joanne.
Before we get into chapter 10, I want to go back to 9:3.
Yes.
You said that reach out to someone that might have offended you or that you've offended, and love them like God would love them and not like you would love them, because sometimes our love is conditional. And I want an example of how of how, what that would look like, I'm asking.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Joanne. That's a great question. And I, let's start off by saying it's not easy to do. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of God to do it. Mm-hmm. But it could be a sibling where you had just a misunderstanding and it just went kind of, you know, the wrong way. So I'd call my brother up and say, hey, look, man, you know, around Christmas time, it, you know, I said some things that I shouldn't have said. And I just want to know that I love you. I love you with the love of God. And man, I felt offended by some things that you said, but I know I offended you too. And I'm just going to ask for your forgiveness. You don't have to, but I just want to let you know, man, I don't hold any ill will against you. I love you. I just want to show the kindness of God towards you. And I hope that you would find it in your heart to forgive me. And I don't need an answer right now. And maybe we can talk next week. And you can let me know what's on your heart. Okay, brother. So I love you. And then I'll talk with you later. And
okay. Okay. That's a good start. Thank you.
That's a good start, Joanne. It's all about me. I'm not going to say, man, I know I said some things, but you said some, I'm not going there. It's just, mm-hmm. Look, I want to show the love of God. And I'm sure I offended you and I was offended, but look, man, I apologize. I love you with the love of God. I shouldn't have said those things I did, but mm-hmm. I'm asked for your forgiveness. And then let's talk next week as you can kind of process it and digest it. And then we can talk next week and you can kind of share what's on your heart.
Okay.
And then we start there, Joanne. And it's okay. And they might call you back and cuss you out and some other things and just go off on you. And you say, yeah. And you let them know, but look, I'm showing you the love of God. And I just want you to know, because God's love is forgiving. God's love doesn't hold any grudges. And that's just the love. That's where we have to be at. You know, it's a mature place to be, but that's where I'm striving to always be there. Because at the end of the day, you know, and I'll say this and then we'll go ahead and jump into it. It was, I grew up in a big family. It was eight of us, six boys and two girls. Two of my brothers are deceased. One of my younger sisters is deceased. Dad has passed away. And all I could do while they was here was just show the love of the kindness of God towards them. And I'm just so thankful it wasn't any, you know, any ill will or anything like that. So I just don't have you. But in a mature place, you just know that life is too short to be holding on to that stuff. And what's really important, like we're finding out now, what's really important, my relationships with my family, my relationship with my friends, my church, my kids, my wife, man, all this other stuff, it could be shut down. But I would hate for somebody to be shut down not knowing that I love them and I wasn't holding any ill will against them. And
right.
So that's just a mature place. And as we, the more I get into the word, Joanne, the Lord shows me I got a lot of growing up to do. And yes. that's why he's my standard. And we're showing the kindness of God, not the kindness of man.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for asking. That helped me out. I'm sure it helped others out too. So
amen.
It's just a mature place that we have to be at. This thing is too short, you know, so here we have David again. I love the heart of David. He said, here's another guy. His dad was nice to me. His dad just died. Let me show the love, the kindness of God towards him. So he sends his men to offer his condolences. Somebody talk to me. Brother Sandley, talk to me. What happened? Where did this go bad at, Brother Sandley?
How are you guys doing today?
All is well.
Can you guys hear me? Yeah.
Loud and clear.
Good, buddy.
It's like, to me, it's like you have to be careful who you listen to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right.
Advisories. Because right here it shows me that David's trying to do the right thing. And I'm pretty sure if the king didn't got the right, you know, information, he would have treated those people a different way. But mm-hmm. since listening to his advisors, and sometimes people will lead you astray, even if you thought you know something, but you're really listening to somebody else, they might send you the wrong way. And this is surely what happened over here, because the king didn't really, you know, the king thought that it was cool.
Right. But
his advisors didn't think so, you know, so he was basically acting on what the advisors told him. Okay. He wasn't really acting on his own belief. He was like, well, you know what? You might be cool to me, but my homeboys over here, my friends over here, and the ones that I listen to and I value their opinions, they're telling me you guys basically are spies. So therefore, my original thought is out the window. Now I'm acting according to what you guys told me. And we have to be careful. Like I said, we have to be careful because the enemy comes in every shape and size. You know, the enemy could come as your brother. The enemy could come as your best friend. The enemy could come as whoever. We just have to be mindful and we have to go to God. Like, to me, the king should listen to what God told him in his heart instead of listening to his advisors.
Got you. Okay. I definitely had that in my notes. Anyone else?
Brother Jerome, Pastor Jerome.
Yes, Brother Cliff.
We have to also remember that these were wars that had gone on for generations, and this was like a second generation.
Right.
The sons of most of these conflicts were still in the hearts of these second generation sons of kings. And although, you know, the dads got along and worked it out or whatever, there still may have been some harboring of ill feelings, and this is why this second generation came at the brothers a different way. He was sending someone to show love, God's love, and yet this other generation still felt ill in his heart, and he wanted to make hate of it. Like, in other words, no, it's not for the good of us. He's trying to send spies so that they can come and attack him in some different way. And it's generational because all of these stories back to back to back deal with each and every generation from like the first down to the third and even the fourth generations as far as sons and servants are concerned.
Hmm. Okay, great point. Hey, we always got to consider the history, the culture. And I guess at some point that Hanum didn't know that the situation between David and his father where they were on good terms. And I don't know if that's because the dad didn't communicate that to the son, or and you have to, and I agree with Brother Stanley, you have to be careful. I mean, it says in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. That's what the Bible says. So I'm not just going to listen to one person. When I got something going on, whether I'm trying to, you know, pursue a job, a career, or a ministry or something, I'm not just going to talk to one person who has a slanted view. Mm-hmm. And then make my decision based on that. As Brother Stanley said, I'm definitely going to God, but then I'm going to go to the people who I know who are godly and not who are, I'm not going to go to a pessimist. I'm not going to go to someone who's always negative. I'm not going to ask them about what should I do. And the king is sending someone for condolences. I'm not going to ask a pessimist because he's going to have a slant on it where you're going to make it, turn it into a negative situation, which is exactly what he did. And so we always have to be careful who we have in our circle, especially those that we listen to for advice and for direction. I mean, this was huge. I mean, this is the king sending his people for condolences and you humiliate him. I mean, that's did you even think how that was going to come back? You know, how the king was going to respond to that. And if we look in verse 5, It's the other side of the coin where David, he went and met his men because he felt bad for him. So David went and met his men and he let them know, look, you all just stay here. I know you got humiliated and I know that you're ashamed of what happened, but just stay here at Jericho. Your beards will grow back. You can get some more clothes and then you come on home. Right.
Pastor Jerome, I was looking at it because I've been reading it a couple of times over as we talked about the culture.
Yes.
There's no indication of the age of Hanu, with respect to how much information did he know of his father's leadership? Because it said that King David was honored with the father. So there was that age, because, you know, maybe back then if you were next in line, you could be 12, not 20. Right. So that would be a different. And those princes, little P, could be older men that gave him wise, you know, that he thought maybe gave him counsel.
Right.
So I was looking at it like that. And then I thought about the game of you know, like somebody tell you something and you not hearing it from the first person. Because he would have said, wait a minute, this is the king who knew my dad. But it depends. Right. I thought about it. It might have been a young king. I don't know.
Yeah, and he could have been, and you know, and that's why it's so important to have good people surrounding you. So you, as a young king, he could have easily been manipulated, which we see could have, which did happen.
Right.
Regardless of age, he allowed himself to be manipulated. So even more so, we got to, you know, seek wise counsel from others. And you're right, as we have quite a few educators here tonight. And you know, you play that game where you tell somebody something, by the time it comes back around, it's amazing how that never fails. It could be something as simple as hello. By the time it comes back to the last person, it's nowhere near the way it started. But then make a note too that in verse 5, as the king is instructing them, he's letting them know that that over time the shame is somewhat eliminated or is not as bad, you know, because sometimes we do something and we try and figure out how God could love us after we did this or we did that. And the word says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But we have a hard time just receiving it. But it shows right here, David said, you guys just stay there. The shame will wear off. And then you come on home and you know, you'll be right back where you were. And that's what God says.
Good point.
And sometimes we don't, you know, we make ourselves greater than God because we hold on to the shame and say that God could never love me. Where God says, I love you. I died for you while you were in the midst of what you were doing. I would have died for you while you were in the act of whatever you feel is so bad. And so the king came out to meet them. Hear what it says. Now, the king came out to meet them and let them know, it's okay. The shame is going to be over. And then you come on back home. So just make a note. I love God for that. And so don't beat yourself up too bad. Just confess it, forsake it, and come on back home. That's what God is saying. It's just come on back home. I've been waiting for you. But and so for some of us, we just got to stop beating ourselves up. It was only one perfect person. That was Christ. That's why we need a savior. Amen. That's why we need him, because our shame will keep us. Our shame and our sin will keep us from God. But God says, hey, come on back home. I've been waiting for you for a long time and I've always loved you, you know? Amen. So anybody else? Any other thoughts?
Thank you for that word. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen. Come on back home. I love God for it.
Well, Pastor, I see that Haman was, you know, he showed that he was not a real king.
Got you.
Because, you know, his reaction, the way he reacted, apparently he definitely wasn't groomed for the position because, you know, his father was reigning as king. And I think, you know, David, it seems like if he actually knew David and his father's relationship, he would have accepted that as a David giving him condolences, you know, that his father had passed. And he just basically listened to the wrong people. And like today, you know, we have to know that if we're calling someone, you know, like some of us will say, I want to call a buddy, say, hey, let me bounce something off of you. Let me run this by you, you know, but you got to be careful who you're asking advice from, you know. I'm not going to call certain people to ask them, you know, critical situations or really important things, you know. Because, you know, I'm going to first ask my Heavenly Father. And if anyone follows, it'll be confirmation from what, you know, the Holy Spirit has already led me or has given me. Mm-hmm. And then my other point I wanted to make, I guess, is in chapter 5. David really cared. It showed his heart because he went to meet his men. And not only did he go to meet his men, he said, you guys stay here until your beards have grown back. You know, he didn't want them to experience any any disgrace or feel, you know, because I was reading also, and it showed that that's a sign of dishonor. Mm-hmm. You know, men walking around with their beards, you know, cut, or, and then even the being like naked, you know, as well. So David really understood, you know, the dignity and the honor, you know, and didn't want his servants to experience that.
That's a great point, Brother Anthony. And your beard looks pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, right. I'm going to somebody's garage tomorrow, Pastor.
Oh, yeah, right. that's a great point.
One also, Pastor?
Yes, sir.
I feel like we should also look at David's character, because David could have easily got mad and went to war with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And as Christians, we also have to understand, when we try to do something good for somebody and they don't like it, they don't appreciate it, and if we know it's come from our heart, we should not hold that person, and God will ultimately take care of them.
Great point.
You know, like if I try to do something for my brother and then he basically pushed me away, like, I don't want to hear this. I don't have time for you. He humiliated me. Most of us are going to walk away hating that guy, because in our heart, we was trying to do something right. And right here, even though they tried David, he still was like, you know what? Whatever. I was trying to do something good, because I know God will take care of him. Because I was trying to do this for the love of God that I had in my heart. I was trying to help somebody, to show them my kindness. And just because they want to be rude, want to be evil with me, I'm not going to fight fire with fire, because I know God will deliver whatever that they have on them. You know?
Sandler, that is an outstanding point. How many times have we done something nice for someone, they didn't receive it, and took it the wrong way, and thought we were trying to manipulate them, and then we go off, and then just it goes from good to bad to worse, you know? So that's a great point. You just say, hey, look, I tried it, and you don't take it personal.
Let me call number you back on the line with the church.
Because number one, you were showing them the kindness of God, so they didn't receive it. So why are you bent out of shape? If it was your kindness, be bent out of shape. But if it was the kindness of God, then you let God deal with it. That's a big difference.
You know, Brother Stanley, also, David knew how to pick his battles.
Amen.
Amen. Everybody now, you got to know how to let God lead you in the battle.
That's true.
Just like your sister said earlier, you know, how you should love somebody, you know, basically when they're being mean to you. Well, what you do is you take you out of it. You look to Jesus. Remember who it's all about. It's not about you. It's Christ living in you. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have gotten out of your godly character and done something that has offended somebody, you go back to them, like Pastor said, and you can tell them, you know what? God convicted me of what I did. I am sorry. I am so sorry. Would you please forgive me? They may forgive you, and they may not. That's not what's important. What's important is that God be glorified. That's what David did. David knew how to pick his battle and realize that some things aren't worth fighting over. The hair's going to grow back. You can get
new clothes. Amen. That's
and that's good on a day-to-day basis. We have to choose our battles.
Amen. That's a great takeaway.
You know, sometimes God tells you to love someone from afar, too.
That's right.
Because sometimes you can't love a person up close, and sometimes you have to love them from afar.
He did. He had to.
You have to sometimes. Sometimes God tells you to stand back and stand down until God fixes that situation.
That's right.
You just have to keep on praying and trust and believe God will. Because I'm proof of that, and God does fix it.
Yes,
because sometimes we try to do it ourselves and it doesn't work. But you have to stand back and love someone from afar until God fixes it.
That's right.
Amen. It comes a point where the preaching needs to stop. And as Sister Stephanie said, you can talk to people sometimes till you're blue in the face and they're blue in the face, but the preaching has to stop and you just go to praying. And then God, leave the details to God. And it's in God's time. It takes a process. That's why David said, you guys go there. And after a certain amount of time, you come back. So it is timing involved. And sometimes we want it to happen right away. But that's just not, reality, as we know. It just
not always God's timing. No.
Yeah. It always comes to timing. It's just not reality that people are going to be loving and forgiving. And then we talk about, you know, forgiveness and then restoration, where it goes back to the way it was. It might not ever be the way it was, but you know that at least that you've done what you're supposed to do as a believer, as a disciple of Christ, and being led by the fruit of the Spirit and not by our flesh. And I love the statement someone said, choose your battles. You know, it's, if you fight everything that's coming your way, you're not going to last long. You're going to die of stress. So you're trying to fight everything. So you got to choose your battles and know when to preach and when to pray.
And you know,
know who to call, the godly advice.
That's true.
Surround yourself with some good people. You got to have at least two or three people who you know that, you know, are filled with the Spirit of God, give godly advice, and going to tell you the truth, even if it's not what you want to hear. But it's going to be confirming what God had already spoke to your heart. That's for sure.
And you know something too, Pastor, like you said, is that it's not always in your timing. It's in God's timing. That's and right. Sometimes it seems like it's years to us, but in God, it could only be mega seconds.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we got to know the difference. If the word says a day is like, to the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day, we think it's a long time to God. It's no difference. A day and 1,000 years, that's, I don't get much deeper than that.
That's true.
Are we ready to, any other thoughts from verses 1 through 5? I'm going to read 6 through 14, and then we'll read 15 through 19. And those are pages. That's where I have my page breaks. So, oh my gosh. Are we ready? Verse 6 is funny. It says, and especially in the King James Version, it says, when the children of Ammon saw that they stank, S-T-A-N-K, right? They saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Bethrob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of King Maacah, 1,000 men, and Ishtab, 12,000 men. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in order at the entering of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah and Reba and Ishtab and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind, he chose all of the men, all the choice men of Israel, and put them in order against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, his brother, that he might put them in order against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of courage. And then this word play in the Hebrew, it says, be of courage. And he says it again, it means to be of courage. Be of good courage and be of good courage. The men for our people and for the cities of our God and the Lord do that which seems him good. Verse 13, and Joab drew near, and the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians had ran, they ran also before Abishai and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. So, very interesting. Let me start with verse 6. And when the children of Ammon saw that they stank, or that they were in a bad situation before David, and we know why, because they humiliated David's men. Isn't that something? They caused this whole thing, and then they're going to go and hire the Syrians And the footmen and of Makkah, 1,000 men of Ishbab, and 12,000 men. And so they want to start posturing against David, saying, well, if you didn't like it, this is what we got for you. And then verse 13 says, and when David heard of it, he sent Joab. Joab, his name in Hebrew means Jehovah is father. He sent a man of God and all the host of the mighty men. Wow. Sent some mighty men. So make a note. I got to say this right now. Make a note. In verse three, you have the princes who say this thing to the new king, and you get all this drama started by somebody acting under suspicion, jealousy, whether it was jealousy, envy, or suspicion. You got a whole ton of drama going down. Somebody was acting off of something that wasn't even true. Mm-hmm. This is, and so just know that sometimes it's just best to be quiet, especially if you're the one that's want to start the drama or say this or say that, and you have half of you have half the story. You don't have all the information. You can start a whole lot of drama. Hey, look. I know Ms. Dawkins, I know she was an administrator. I was an administrator. I know Kelly works at the school too. Who else? Carrie's an administrator, Brandy. Man, when I was an assistant principal of the middle school, I would spend my whole day chasing a rumor. My whole day chasing a rumor. And then when I get to the, finally go through about 20 people and get to the girl, one who started, she said, I thought I heard her say, I done spent 8 hours. Jason, two fights, 8 hours. I finally, at the end of the day, get to it, and it comes back to her and said, well, who told you? No. Well, I thought I heard. I mean, it's so much. I mean, it's just the reality that it's just best to be quiet, because so much drama gets started. As we see right here, people are getting ready to die over this drama. And this. So sometimes we just got to be quiet. Especially if we don't know, and especially don't repeat some foolishness. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I just, I'm talking too much. Somebody else talk to me. What else did you see?
I feel like sometimes, you know, we could do a little, in our minds, it might be like a little sin, but we don't know magnitude of it, because right here, this is a domino effect.
Right, because I got you.
What's messed with David's little man? Now thousands of people is about to die for that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because in his mind, oh, you know, now the enemy put in his heart, oh, David's going to come for you. You know, so now I get more people to die. You know, I got to get, you know, this little sin that I did earlier. Now I got to get all thousands of people just to go fight now.
That's right.
So it's like one little nice graduating, you know, to a bigger one. So basically, like you said, we have to nip it in the bud in the beginning,
right?
You know, because if he didn't, like you say, if he had the right counsels and, you know, and the Lord, what he's supposed to do, all these people wasn't supposed to die because of one misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Oh, God help us. And here we are in the midst of a pandemic, and we don't know how it started with all the conspiracy theories and everything, but it's out of control, and it's affecting one little thing can affect everybody. So we have to be careful and personally. So, you know, as the word speaks to us personally, I have to be careful with what I say, and not knowing that it's not just going to stay here, that it's going to, it could possibly get out and get back and create some big drama. So personally, I have to keep my mouth closed, especially if I don't know what I'm talking about. And especially if it's, you know, just some itchy ear type stuff, you know, and the Bible speaks in Proverbs, it speaks against that all the time about gossip and tale-bearing. And then James speaks about it, said just a little tongue can start a huge forest fire. we can tame all other kind of stuff, but we cannot tame the tongue. Somebody say you can't. You walk around and you talk about, I got this, I did this, I did that, but you cannot you need to keep your mouth closed because you can't tame your tongue. And that comes, but it's one of the fruit of the spirit is self-control. So we can through God, but we choose not to, and we have to be careful.
There is a scripture that says, keep your mouth shut and stay out of trouble.
Hey, we'll look that up for next week. Is that Sister
Roy? Up for next week.
Yeah, we'll look. We'll find out what in Proverbs. I'm sure it's in Proverbs or James or one of them. But
your mouth shut and stay out of trouble.
We'll look it up and share it next week.
Who you listen to.
Amen.
That's so funny. You know, Pastor, when you... You know, when Pastor, when you said about rumors, it reminded me of that old song, How Does Rumors Get Started?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I wouldn't know what you're talking about because I don't listen to secular.
Yes, you do too.
Timex Social Club. I wouldn't know anything about that. Sister Stephanie, I wouldn't know anything about the Timex Social Club, all right? So. That's good stuff. But amen. And then for those of us who had kids and they would watch, we'd watch VeggieTales. It was a VeggieTale that was the rumor weed. And that dude, man, once that rumor weed got started, oh, he just ruined the whole town. Just causing all kind of trouble. So, and that's, we would teach our kids about repeating stuff or saying stuff that's not true. And because it turns into the rumor weed. So, anything else? Then we'll finish this up with verses 15 through 19. Oh, look at verse. Oh my gosh, we can't miss this. Verse 9. And when Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him, before and behind him, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in order against the Syrians. So, okay, I love Joab, but here's two things. Number one, David, he said, look, I got somebody I can depend on to handle this. So David didn't go out to handle it because David knows how to delegate. So we talked about that last time, and I think it was chapter 8 when David delegated certain things for certain people to do. But so he put Joab in charge. So you see Dave delegated to Joab. Joab, it says the word array in the Hebrew means to put in order. So, and then verse 10, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai, he delegated his brother that he might put them in order against the children of Ammon. So here it is. Two words that God gave me as I was reading this, order and strategy, right? Mm-hmm. There's certain, we know that we have an enemy, the enemy of our souls, which we know is Satan, Lucifer. And we have to keep our life in order and we have to have a strategy. It's just certain places you can't go. You can't, certain things you can't do, certain triggers, you know, that take you where you don't want to go. So you got to have a strategy and you have to have things in order so you don't get defeated by the enemy. Joab and his brother Abishai, Joab put the strategy together, gave it to his brother, got him in order, and they defeated the enemy. Family, we're not going to win any battles if we don't have discipline, if we don't have a strategy, and if we don't have things in order.
That's true.
And now, think about now, as with everything that's going on, as we deal with this pandemic, just personally, family, God's been telling us for a long time, get your house in order, get your finances in order, get your stuff in order, right? So now mm-hmm. we're in the midst of a pandemic. What do they say? If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. If you stay in order, you don't have to try and put things in order. But we got to have a strategy. We got to have things in order. And the only way that we're going to come out of this smarter is by having a strategy and getting things in order. And it might be too late. I've shared over times before, and I don't want to talk too much, but in 2008, when that recession hit, it was, you know, I personally didn't have things in order. And you learn the hard way when you don't have things in order. And so God said, we have to be like Joseph. Joseph stored up in the great years. So when the 7 years of famine came, he was able to be a blessing to others. But that's because God told him, get this in order and don't live reckless when you have things going well. Right. And just for the record, in 2008, I was still doing the publishing, the book publishing, and I was doing real estate, and the recession hit, and I had 11 mortgages. Imagine if I had it. If I had 11 mortgages now, are you serious? Everything is shut down. How do you handle that? It was not a pretty picture. But if I didn't learn from that, what's first time? Shame on you. Second time, shame on me. And God taught me a lesson on greed, a huge lesson on greed. Why would anybody need 11 mortgages unless they were greedy? Amen. Mm-hmm. And so you learn that lesson, you learn to get your house in order, and you learn a strategy. So when things happen, you're able to be a blessing to others. And so this is just in the scriptures, but it's practical for us. I mean, we got to, and you will, we'll get through this, Lord willing, we'll get through it, but come out with a strategy and have stuff in order saying, I'll never get caught where I'm, you know, I can't be a blessing to someone else if things go bad.
You know, Pastor, I really believe where you're coming from, because I believe God is talking to all his children, because I'm personally learning exactly what you said, order, strategy, and discipline. I'm learning that right now. So I do believe he's talking to all his children and telling us these three things because they're important. Because when this hit, it just hit.
Right.
And we all have to learn those three things because they're important. Because if I had done something back, like I've learned from my mistake, and I'm learning from, you know, and it's good that you learn because it makes you stronger. You learned a lot. You can't go back and say, what if I could have, should have.
Correct.
But if I look back at my own life, and if I had done things different, things wouldn't have happened, but we learn from our mistakes. And you trust and believe in God, and he takes you through things, and he supplies all your needs as he's taking you through things. But you are correct, because it is about order and strategy and discipline. And sometimes that discipline, it hurts a little bit, but you got to have that budget and discipline so that you can be prepared, because I do believe that's what God's doing to his children. Because like you said, if we look back, all these meat plants, they're closing down. Tyson, all these major meat plants are closing down. Meat is going to cost a lot of money. Things are going to go really, really high. So God is talking to his children to say, look, I want you to get prepared, be ready. And like you said, it's that little pruning. It may hurt a little bit, but God wants us to be ready for what comes next.
Amen. And it's not necessarily for us. It's so we can be a blessing. Mm-hmm. As yes. we're being a blessing, then we're sharing the goodness of God, the kindness of God to others as you're helping them. And Jesus said, if you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So it's not a selfish thing. It's just it's a ministry thing. It's a kindness of God thing.
That's true.
And as if we are true representation of God, then and our stuff is out of order, then it's hard for us to be a blessing to anybody else when our stuff is not in order. So I just love that out of the scriptures. And then look at verse 12. He said, be of good courage. He said it twice. Be of good courage and be of good courage. The men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. So he's saying this whole thing, we got to do this. We got to be strong. We got to be of good courage. And God's going to do what his will is. So make a note of that, family. As we go through this, be strong, be of good courage, and God's will is going to, with or without us, God's will is going to be done. Amen. It's about God doing what's good for him, because God sees the bigger picture and we just see the snapshot. God sees the whole video and we just see a still frame. Man, Joab, but this is a guy, and make a note, this is a guy David put in charge. Look at the wisdom of the guy that Dave had with him and his mighty men. And for men and ladies, surround yourself with people who have wisdom, godly character, that if you ask them to do something, they're dependable. They're going to do it like you would do it. And they're going to do it for the glory of God. Man, you got to give David some credit, because and when we get together next week, David, he sees Bathsheba bathing and he loses it. Right. But we see that But right, Dave is a good guy. He just, and we'll talk about next week, but that's why we all need a savior. David needed a savior too. He was after God's heart. But he surrounded himself with good people. He just didn't take advice. Sometimes it's hard to take your own advice, you know. So but in this case, man, he put Joab in charge, and they handled it for him. And Joab is talking order, discipline, strategy. And when the enemy saw that, also make a note of this: when the enemy sees that you live a disciplined life, that's in order, and you operate strategic, then the enemy kind of leaves you alone. He goes to look for somebody who's living a messy life, whose stuff is out of order. You're kind of a hard target now. And you guard the things that trigger you into things that you shouldn't be into, and it's discipline. Look, the enemy start running. Say, I got to leave them alone. They're that's a harder battle to fight. I'll go find somebody who says there's a believer and they're just playing church. They're out of order. They don't have no discipline. They don't even know what a strategy is. And he'll go in and have us chasing our tail for about 3 or 4 years until we kind of grow up some more. Okay, let's finish it because it's getting late and I'm talking too much. Verses 15 through 19. And when the Syrians saw that they were killed before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadarezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam and Shobak. The captain of the host of Hadarezer went before them. And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan, came to Helam, and the Syrians set themselves in order against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed the men of 700 chariots of Syrians and 40,000 horsemen, and killed Shobak, the captain of their hosts, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were killed before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore. Wow. And we stated before, Brother Stanley, all this could have been avoided with the king, the newly appointed king, just getting some godly advice, and how, I mean, people died. A lot of people died because of assumptions and suspicions. Yeah. We humiliated them, so now they're going to come back to fight. So we got to go hire some people to fight. And when it didn't even have to be this way, and God help us in the name of Jesus for stuff we started that got way out of hand, that didn't have to be the way that it was, but it was started by us. Before I want to point fingers at anybody else, my mom started it. My suspicions, my gossip, my foolishness started, and it's never even had to happen that way. God forgive us in the name of Jesus. And then in verse 19, you see the ones who had some sense made peace with the king. And we know that by confessing our sins and just staying close to God and going through Psalms 18. I hope you all had a chance to read Psalms 18 this morning, 18, 1 through 3. Just staying close to the king. I would love you, Lord, you're my strength. You're my strength. You're my fortress. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my God in whom I would trust. You're my strong tower, the horn of my salvation. Just staying close to God. I'm trying to make peace with the king. Because we know who ultimately has all the power, who is the power and the glory and the greatness and the victory and the majesty. But they had enough sense. And look what it says, underline that, and all the kings. So these are not just wimps. These are guys with powerful positions. But they made peace with King David. And remember, one of the titles of Jesus Christ, he's the King of Kings. So there are a lot of kings, and we get that, and we give honor to where honor is due. If there's only one King of Kings, we all, then they all have to answer to King Jesus. And then right here, they knew that, man, it's God is with David. It's no sense in fighting against this king. It'll make sense for us to make peace with the king. And so I'm just saying for us as believers in Christ, make it daily, every morning, just go to God. And we're already at peace with Christ. But when we kind of mess up as we get in our struggles and kind of blow it and fall short, then run to Christ and make peace with the king. Because it's God's not out to get us. Thank God for that, to the point that he died for us. And it's just a good, beautiful space to be in. Make peace with the king and then show the kindness of God to others. Somebody else talk to me about 15 through 19 before we close in prayer. Any other thoughts? Or give me some takeaways. What's our takeaway from tonight? I saw some of you taking notes. Give me one or two takeaways, and then we'll end in prayer, and then we'll next week. Oh my gosh, David, say it isn't so. Man, he's doing so good as a king, and then anyway, but that's next week. So so you want to be here next week because it's. But it, you know what? It just shows that none of us are above just any day we don't guard our heart and our mind and our eyes and in our mouth, we could get caught up in anything. So God help us. But anyway, somebody hurry up. Give me a takeaway.
Pastor?
Yes, Sister Brandy.
My takeaway would be what you mentioned or you said in verses 9 and 10 about the order and strategy, how as believers it's essential to have an order and strategy in your life in order to defeat the enemy, or you will always be defeated.
Okay. You live a defeated lifestyle as opposed to a victorious lifestyle. Order, strategy, and as Sister Stephanie added, discipline. But you got to have discipline in order to create an order and a strategy. Amen.
And also then you can add consistency.
Consistency. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
And you all just know that even as we're at home now, there's certain routines in order that we should have in our home now. Right. And those of us who have kids at home, the kids shouldn't be just running, doing whatever. It's an order. I mean, it's a practical natural thing and a practical spiritual thing. Order, strategy, and discipline. Great takeaway. Anyone else want to share? Share your notes. Please share your notes. You're being a blessing to others as well when you share.
Notice that you are created for a purpose, and the purpose is to bring honesty and glory to God, and you do that by meeting the needs of people. Mm. And David did that, and I think him as a king, he wanted all of his people to do that, like God wants us to do that.
I love that. Thank you, Brother Joseph.
Amen.
And I kind of looked at showing the kindness of God to others while we're blessing them. And that is so right on right now with everything we're going through. We're donating to certain places, and we're not just doing it as it's the new fad or this the new thing to do. But we need to be reminded that when we show that, we show the kindness of God. And amen. I think that's a great takeaway for our season that we're dealing with today.
Beautiful.
Amen.
And y'all have blessed me tonight. Yes.
And I think a good takeaway is that to always surround yourself with good, godly people that have wisdom and good character, because we need someone in our life that is not afraid to tell us when we're off track. We need to get back on track and will speak to us through the word of God. And I thank God for Sister Kathy every day.
Amen.
Because when I'm going sideways, she pulls me back.
Amen. Great point. Great takeaways. Anyone else before we close out? Thank you all so much.
My takeaway would probably be know that you can't do it alone, like David did. He know he's the king, so he basically delegated to, you know, for posts. Because some of us, we try to do everything on our own because we
got you
for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's better for you to lay back and let somebody else do their job.
Huh. Amen. And right. And then Brother Sandy, I guess another point is that know your people and put good people in charge of, do what you do best, put good people. If you're good at, administration, and I know that, and then I put somebody else in charge who's not good at it and everything falls apart, that's on me as a leader, because I knew who I should have put there. He sent Joab because he knew Joab would get it done. So
exactly.
You have to be, put people in charge and don't be afraid to delegate. It makes David look like an incredible king to say, man, you put that dude in charge and he handled it like that. That's a reflection on David as a king.
And most of the time in the educational world, and that's almost doing like they say, hire your weaknesses, because mm-hmm. that's their strength and you allow them to be able to be in a position of strength, because that's not your strength. But always make sure you hire your weaknesses, because it's not what you do, but you want to find someone that can be excellent in that position, so you can know to go to them when it's the opportune time.
Excellent.
You know, we have to pray too for, like in corporate world, you have to pray for the corporate world, because a lot of times they don't do that. And in corporate world, if they did that, a lot of things would be better. So you have to really pray for where you work at, that they can delegate and put good people in place. Because a lot of times when you look, you don't have good people in place. Because a lot of times that's why so many corporations fall. They don't make it. They fall apart. They have so many troubles. So many things go wrong because they don't have those good people in places, and they promote their friends and they promote people that don't have the knowledge. So you really, when you go into a corporate job, you really have to go in there praying and talking to God about your place of work, where you work at. It's very important to pray for the place that you work in and pray for your bosses and your supervisors and your managers all the time.
Amen. 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 Anything else before I go ahead? I'm going to mute you all just for the background noise, and I will unmute you so we can say our final farewells for the evening if there are not any other takeaways. And then also I do want you to know, for those of you that, returning your tithe and your offering, you go right to the website for that, and the giving button is there. The addresses are there where to send it, and we really appreciate you all doing that. And it just helps us to continue to do what we do as a ministry, as we're live streaming now, and as we're just trying to put things in place for when we do come back to, if we ever come back to the, or is this our new normal from here on out? Either way, we're preparing to just, share the gospel with as many as we can. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so I'm going to mute you all. Don't leave. I'm just going to mute you. I'm going to pray, and then we will say a final word and dismiss. Lord, we thank you and we bless you. Wow, what a great word tonight, Lord, that you spoke to our heart. You're speaking order and discipline. It's principles of your word, principles of God, that just help us, God, where we're at in our own homes, where we are today, discipline, order, a godly strategy, surrounding ourselves with godly people that we can ask and share and bounce things off of, Lord. Always praying for our leaders and our bosses and those that are in authority, praying for our country, Lord, praying for godly leaders to step up and be strong and courageous, God, that we might live in and be led in a godly direction as a nation. We thank you, Lord, that your word teaches us tonight to delegate, to put people in places where they function best, and don't operate out of jealousy and envy if someone operates better than you, but that's not your gift, that's not your call. So Lord, we're just asking, Lord, and above all, that we would make peace with the King of Kings, which is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we ask for the forgiveness of sins. the times that we knowingly just did our own thing and just disregarded what your word says, even what the Holy Spirit was speaking to our heart. But we thank you, Lord, that your word says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So thank you for the forgiveness of sins. Thank you for being our King. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for watching over us, Lord. Thank you that in the midst of this pandemic, God, you're teaching us to show the love of and the kindness of God to others, to be a blessing to others, God, not to be selfish and self-conscious, but to be God-conscious so that we can have enough courage so that God gets the glory and God's will is done. So thank you for everyone on this call. Just pray a blessing on every household, the kids, the families, their jobs, their business, their ministry, God. Cover and keep them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Show yourself strong. May we run to you each morning. Psalms 18, Psalms 118, Psalms 136, Psalms 145, just to be reminded of the greatness of God. We love you, Lord, and even in our struggles and our faults and our shortcomings, Lord, we love you. And we just ask that you would continue to be with us and give us the strength to live that godly life and be the blessing to others that you've called us to be. Bless the remainder of our evening and the remainder of this week. And Lord, if your will meet on Sunday just to fellowship again. And we thank you, God. What a great night to study your word tonight. Thank you for the encouragement, Lord. We feel as if we can continue on, and thank you for speaking to our hearts tonight. We are encouraged in God and in each other. Bless your people, and thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Well, man, you all, thank you so much, and we'll see you Sunday, Lord willing. And next Wednesday, I don't even know what to say about 2 Samuel 11. I don't, y'all study that too. Y'all got to help me next week, because it's just very interesting chapter. It's, the takeaways should be eye-opening for all of us.
Right.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. But it is, I kept you 10 minutes overtime. It is 7:40. Enjoy the rest of your night. I appreciate
it. Okay.
Morning. All right. Oh, what time is it out there in Atlanta?
10:40.
Love you, Kelly. Love you, Cynthia, Brother Cliff. 10:40.
Bye. Bye.
Scary.
Good night. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night. Bless everyone. Have a good evening.
Good night, everyone.
God bless.
Good night.
Right. Be safe, and we'll see you Sunday.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, Brother Joseph.
Good night.
Good night.
All right.
Brother Samuel.